Well, good morning to everyone. Good morning and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. I'm Pastor Jonathan Ford, and we're so excited to have you here with us today. Thank you for joining us this morning for our Sunday worship service via YouTube Live. And also, I want to give a big shout out to all of our Facebook friends who are watching this morning via Facebook Live. Thank you also for joining us. On the first Sunday of every month, it is our custom at Taylor Tabernacle to celebrate communion, known as the Lord's Supper. And so we're going to be doing that today, right here at the beginning of our worship experience. And I invite you to join us in this special and also sacred service. Please provide your own bread and wine, crackers and juice, or whatever you might have available in your home and in your kitchen. We'll use that as a substitute for bread and wine this morning. So take a moment, if you haven't already done so, grab some bread, grab some grape juice, maybe apple juice or water, and then come back in, and we're going to begin right with our communion service. So again, thank you for joining us today, and welcome to the Tabernacle.
Good morning and
say it into the mic, loud and into the mic.
Good morning and welcome to our community service.
Good job.
I'm going to begin by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 34 for your hearing. And it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the rest of the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come."
Thank you, Jordan. Now we're going to have Jackson come. He's going to lead us in our confession of faith. He's going to recite one line, and as a congregation, we are going to repeat after him all the way down through the conclusion. Jackson? Nice and loud.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you.
We confess that we have sinned against you.
In thought,
word,
and deed.
By what we have done and what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Have mercy on us and forgive us.
That we may delight in your will.
And walk in your ways.
To the glory of your name.
Amen.
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 if you would prepare yourself for our communion prayer. Thank you, Father, for this precious time of reverent reflection on all that Christ did for us at Calvary. As we partake of these hallowed symbols at this holy communion table, we humbly take this bread and bless it and break it and eat it in remembrance of you for your own dear body was broken for us. May we continue to feed on you in our hearts by faith and with grateful thanks from this day forward. And may we walk worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus and live a life that is honoring to you. Heavenly Father, we come to you in grateful remembrance of what the Lord Jesus Christ achieved on Calvary's cross for all of us when he shed his precious blood on the cross to pay the enormous price of our sin and become a ransom for many. We share this cup of blessing in his name, remembering how he himself took the cup in the upper room as the hour of his crucifixion drew near and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for many. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, thank you for this holy sacrament, and may I never approach the communion table in an unworthy manner, knowing that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until his coming again in great glory and majesty. We praise your holy name forever and ever. Amen.
So at this time, I'm going to ask you to take your bread, whatever you may have provided for your house and for your family, whether it be crackers, whether it be actual bread, whatever you're using to symbolize the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask that you would prepare now, if you could get the bread in your hand and just lift it up. As you lift it up, we're reminded that Christ said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." This is his body that he gave as a sacrifice so that our sins might be forgiven. Eat ye all of it. After the same manner, he also took the cup of thanksgiving. He lifted it up, told his disciples, "This cup represents his shed blood and establishes a new covenant between God and man. He offered his blood that for the remission of our sins. I say to you, drink ye all of it." God, our Father, we thank you for the privilege of the communion sacrament. We thank you for the consistent reminder of what you did in giving your son and what your son did in giving his life, both his body and his blood. May we ever be sanctified, purified, and made ready again for the great coming of the wedding and marriage feast. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks to all of you for participating in our communion service. And at this time, I'm going to offer a short sermon. And I'm going to allow my family to find more comfortable chairs if they would like to. Or they can stay at the communion table. Hey, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn to Luke, the 19th chapter. We're going to read the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. So again, if you have your Bibles, we're in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. As I often like to do, I'm going to add to the witness this morning out of the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter and verse 20. Again, Luke 19 and 1, and then afterwards we'll flip over to Revelations 3 and 20. So if you are there in Luke 19, you'll find this story. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was also very rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, because he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus, and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And so Zacchaeus, he made haste, came down, and he received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything by false means, I restore it fourfold." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." And so I just want, let's go to Revelation. Let's add to the witness, Revelations, the last book of the Bible. Revelations, the third chapter and verse 20. And if you cannot find Revelations, I invite you to call the church hotline for some personal counseling. And we'll show you how to at least get the Genesis and Revelations. We got to at least be able to do that.
Amen.
Familiar passage. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." So this morning, for the remaining time that we have, I just want to talk from the subject, guess who's coming to dinner? Guess who is coming to dinner? Now, for some of you, if you are my age or maybe even older, that subject line might ring a bell for you. "Guess who's coming to dinner" is a 1967 American comedy and drama film. It starred Sidney Poitier, Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn, and Hepburn's niece, Katharine Hooton. The film was one of the few films of the time to depict an interracial marriage in a positive light. 23-year-old Joanna Drayton unannounced her early return from her vacation, and it caused a stir when she told her parents she was recently engaged and was bringing her new fiance home to their upper-class house in San Francisco. He, John Prentice, was a 37-year-old Negro physician and medical professor. Without saying any more, I'm sure you can imagine the commotion caused by this unique dinner guest. For all of you abiding by the stay-at-home orders, if you have not seen this movie, I invite you to add it to your binge or watch list. It's actually a good movie, and we all love Sidney Poitier. So I just use that as a backdrop to our sermon and this story here that we have about Zacchaeus. It starts out in verse 1, Jesus now making his way to Jerusalem, and he passes through the close town of Jericho. And the Bible lets us know in verse 2 that there was a certain man there, and his name was Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, they tells us two things about him. He was a chief tax collector. And he was also very rich. The tax collector In those times, in and around Jerusalem, they were often Jews who were selected to collect taxes on behalf of the Roman government. And in this position, many of the tax collectors abused their privilege and not only collected taxes for the Roman government, but would also add a surcharge for their own personal time and service. And oftentimes that surcharge they would add would be exuberant. And so oftentimes they became wealthy by overtaxing the people. So Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector, meaning he owned a business and he had other tax agents who worked for him. So he was the big man on top of the pyramid. And as a result, he became rich. But also as a result of becoming rich, he also became hated. Not just him only, but all tax collectors, because this overtaxation was a common practice at that time. The only thing that I want to mention here about this verse, because in my own study, it kept sticking out to me. It mentions not only his occupations, but that he was very rich. And it stuck out to me because as I was preparing this sermon and in reading in chapter 18 of Luke and also chapter 20, in 18, we find that there is another story about a rich young ruler who, given an opportunity to receive salvation, the story lets us know he was unable to do so because he was rich and refused to let go of his wealth in exchange for his salvation. Jesus simply said, sell all you have, give to the poor, and follow me, but he was unable to do it. In contrast to that story, we now have this story, where as we have already read, Zacchaeus has no problem giving his wealth and his riches, half to the poor, paying restitution to any of those he may have cheated. He didn't want anything to stand between him and the salvation that Christ offered. And I just want to mention that because sometimes for those that are, I wouldn't even say rich or well-to-do, but those who are able to live comfortably, there are many, while the news is reporting, unemployment is at an all-time high, countless people have lost jobs, businesses are shut down, there are still many people who are still working, still getting a paycheck every week, every 2 weeks, still able to provide for their family, still have health insurance. And all too often, sometimes we can find ourselves in a comfortable position that causes us to believe that our success is a result of our own hands, the result of our own doing, the result of our education, the result of opportunities that we have taken advantage of. And we forget what the book of Deuteronomy tells us is that God gives us the power to get wealth. And with that wealth, we are not to hoard it and use it for ourselves exclusively, but oftentimes we are blessed to be a blessing. So I just want to, that's just a footnote. It's not the sermon. Amos says in the Old Testament, Amos 6:1, it says, woe to those that are at ease in Zion and those who put their trust in the mountains of Samaria. So if you're out there today and the Lord has blessed you to be rich, to have enough for your family and then some, please do not allow it to hinder you from accepting Christ as your personal Savior, because we are all sinners in need of God's grace and mercy. So picking up the story, now we're back in verse 3, and it says that Zacchaeus sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, because he was short of stature. I'm sure that Zacchaeus sought Jesus because he was famous and popular. This coming to Jericho at this time is right on the heels of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And this story, this episode, this miracle alone caused Jesus to reach an unbelievable level of popularity. If you're like me and a lot of the fellas, we're all on standby as we're watching the series, The Last Dance, which features Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls in their sixth championship season. And one of the things that is often highlighted in each episode is how popular Michael Jordan was during this unbelievable championship run. He was not only popular in the United States, he had reached unparalleled popularity around the world. And that's something in our lifetime that we can all see and relate to. It is of the same magnitude, the level of popularity that Jesus had reached. He had excelled beyond just being a popular preacher of his day, but he was a worldwide phenomenon. And everywhere he went, crowds abounded. And so I'm sure Zacchaeus came because Jesus was famous, Jesus was popular, so he wanted to get in and see who this guy really was. But I also would like to suggest that he also sought him from a spiritual perspective. Spiritual in that there was something about this Jesus that drew Zacchaeus to him, above and beyond just the mere popularity of who he was and what he could do. But the text helps us to know that in spite of Zacchaeus wanting to see him, the crowd stood in his way. And it hindered him because the text said he was too short. He was too short not only physically, he was too short spiritually. The Roman writer tells us in Romans 3 and 23 that all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. Verse 4, and so Zacchaeus, he runs ahead, he climbs up into a sycamore tree and that he might see him, because he knows Jesus is passing by. Zacchaeus was rich. Zacchaeus was of the upper class of his time. But yet and still we find Zacchaeus making an undignified move. I remember growing up when we did things that were out of order or out of line, my Nana would pluck us in the back of our heads and she would always say, hey, we don't act like that. She would let us know there was a standard of the way we conducted ourselves. We acted in order. We spoke when spoken to. We said, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. It was just the way you acted because you didn't want to cast a bad light or a bad appearance on our parents. And so she would say, hey, don't act like that. We don't act like that. You don't have the right to go out and act a fool. In spite of all what my Nana said, we find Zacchaeus of the upper echelon, of the elite, acting a fool because this man in all of his royal robes, his royal garb, he runs ahead of the crowd, climbs up into a sycamore tree, and climbs up over the road just so he could have a view of who Jesus was. I submit to you that Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and he saw him. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Jesus' message to Zacchaeus was worded as a mandate, not a request. It is the only place in all of the gospel where Jesus invites himself to another man's house. And I believe Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house because Zacchaeus was inviting Jesus into his heart. So what you see happening on the outside, Jesus inviting himself in, was an indication of what was happening on the inside of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus inviting the Savior into his heart. Hey, look, and I can prove that too. I don't want to leave you doubting. Now we're down at verse 6. And verse 6 says, it was at this time, so Zacchaeus made haste, came down, and he received him joyfully. Now, I'm sure all of you, as you're watching this, you're all saying to yourself, the first lady has done it again. Why? Because as the mother and the wife of the house, look at what she has provided. We've got the flowers again. Last time it was lilies. This time it's a spring bouquet. She's got the communion table set. She made the boys clean up, pick up all their shoes and all their junk and all that stuff because what? We were having you guys over our house for breakfast. So anyone who has a mother or wife knows what it's like when you come home with a guest unannounced. All of the women hate it. Why? Not because they hate the guests, but they hate the fact that the house is what? Unprepared. Because while we are under the stay-at-home order from our local government, what that means in terms of our local houses is that our local houses are a mess 24/7. Because the kids are home all day, they're eating all day, they're playing all day, toys everywhere. And so we're glad that there's a stay-at-home order for one side of the coin because we wouldn't want anybody coming over our house and seeing it the way it is. When anytime someone shows up to your house unannounced, they get to see how you really live. And when people come to your house unannounced, they often find your house messy, dirty, unclean, and unkept. But in spite of all of that, Zacchaeus took Jesus home to his house. Why? Because Zacchaeus didn't care. He said, here is my shot at salvation, my shout at redemption, and I'm not going to allow a dirty kitchen or a dirty garage or a messy or unkept lawn keep me from missing this opportunity to have Jesus in my house for dinner. Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore with joy you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. It's not only that he took Jesus home, he took Jesus home with joy in his heart. Psalm 16:11 says, in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There was great joy in Zacchaeus' house. Now I'm not saying his house was clean. His house was without question dirty. His life was dirty. His surroundings were dirty, but at the coming of Jesus into his house, there was great joy in Zacchaeus' house. Find somebody in your house and tell them there's great joy in the house. So now Zacchaeus comes. He comes into the house. Jesus is there. Now I want you to get this. Verse 7, it says, but when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. So on the one hand, you have Zacchaeus experiencing great joy. But on the other hand, you find what I like to call the player haters experiencing great angst. They said, here this popular and great man has come into town, and instead of coming to the temple or coming to where we gather for worship, he has decided to go to a house of a guy who is a sinner and a tax collector. And so now the crowd begins to play your hate against Zacchaeus. They hated Jesus because he chose to dine with a notorious sinner. But they also hated Zacchaeus because Jesus chose his house over their house. And I just got to remind folks, you can't allow the crowd to affect your joy. You follow what I'm saying? Because what the crowd needs to understand is you will invite Jesus into your heart and into your house, he will most certainly come and have dinner at your house. But if you are just jealous about those who are experiencing joy because of the gift of salvation and because of the coming of the Holy Spirit into their life, that only makes you a player hater. And instead, the Bible says we ought to rejoice with those that rejoice, and we ought to mourn with those that mourn. These guys are in direct violation of the word of God. And instead of rejoicing with Zacchaeus over the Savior, they began to reject Zacchaeus, complain against him, complain against his profession, all because Jesus has decided to go to Zacchaeus' house. But this is what I like. Verse 8, here it is. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if there's anyone that I have cheated in the tax collection process, I will restore to him fourfold above the required law of restitution." And so you got Zacchaeus making this statement. This is why I'm going to read it again, and I want you to pick up on this. It says, "Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half to the poor, and I make whole four times over anyone I've cheated.'" When I first looked at this verse, I got excited over what Zacchaeus said. But as I studied this verse, my focus began to shift from what Zacchaeus said and focus on more to who he said it to. I appreciate what Zacchaeus said, but I love more who he said it to. Resist the temptation to talk to the crowd, to the complainers, or the player haters. I oftentimes see Christians drawn into unnecessary debates, often leading to arguments and strife. Sometimes the Bible tells us we've got to learn to just hold our peace. Even though the unregenerated side of us wants to lash out and wants to speak out, that old man in us wants to say something back. And here's my advice. I want you to do what Zacchaeus did. Instead of speaking to the crowd, you got to learn to speak to Jesus. If you want to say anything or speak to anybody, we've got to learn to speak to Jesus. We don't sing it much anymore, but there was one of the old songs we used to sing in the church was, "I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus because I cannot bear these burdens alone. Therefore, I must tell Jesus, and I must tell Jesus because Jesus can help me, Jesus alone." Touch your neighbor and said, "The Lord will help you." He will. That's what he does. He comes to bring help in our times of trouble. But we've got to learn to resist the temptation from talking back to the crowd. Zacchaeus said, "You're not going to spoil my joy. You're not going to spoil my dinner tonight. So I won't even acknowledge what you're saying about me. I won't even acknowledge what you're saying about my family. I'm going to speak to my dinner guest tonight. And I'm going to offer my repentance to him so that I can continue to experience great joy." Here it is, verse 9. Let's wrap it up and get out of here. Verse 9. "And so Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house because you are a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" And so if you want to be like Zacchaeus, all you have to do is open your heart and let the Lord in. Zacchaeus opened both his house, which was an outward sign of what was happening on the inside of him, in which he was opening his heart. And he was opening his heart to the Lord so that the Lord could come in. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup or have dinner with him and he with me." So find somebody in your house and just tell them, let them in, let them in, let them in. Come on, church, tell them, say, you got to let the Lord in your house.
because today he wants to come into your house. Today he wants to come into your heart. Today he wants to renew your mind. Today he wants to save your soul. So the only question is, why won't you let him in? You'll miss your opportunity to let him in if you focus on the crowd. You'll miss your opportunity to let him in if you focus on your own shortcomings. You'll miss your opportunity to let him in if you're at ease in Zion. But you've got to make a choice today. Why? Because the Savior is knocking. He's knocking at your house. He's knocking on your heart. Why won't you let him in? Another song we used to sing was, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Why won't you hear my humble cry? While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I can't miss my chance. I can't miss the one opportunity I have to have Christ enter my house. So I'll do whatever I have to let him in. Put somebody in your house and say, let him in. Here it is, I'm finished. I'm going to give you this and I'm finished with it. What I like about it, when Jesus stops by, unlike your family and your friends, and unlike your co-workers and your colleagues, and unlike your neighbors, nieces and nephews, for whenever they stop by, they never bring anything to eat. They always stop by to receive, never to give. But what I like about Jesus, this is where I need my internet church to help me, is that whenever the Lord stops by, He always, how many preachers I got out on the internet? Use your good preaching voice and help me to preach him. And say, he always brings bread and he always brings wine. For whenever Jesus stops by, there is always bread and wine in the hands of the Savior. Bread for his broken body, wine for his shed blood, shed on Calvary's cross, so that you and I could receive salvation. That's why Zacchaeus had so much joy. He didn't have to prepare dinner when Jesus stopped by. He brought the bread with him. When Jesus stopped by, he brings the wine with him. It's his own blood, which he shed on Calvary's cross. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of our sins. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory by Christ Jesus. Now I understand why the psalmist said, when they heard the king was coming by, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory, and the King of glory, he shall come in. Who is this King of glory? It's the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle, the Lord who is knocking at your house. Why won't you let him in? He's knocking at your house. Tell the folks in your house, guess who's coming to dinner? His name is Jesus.
He's knocking at your door. He's knocking at your house. He's knocking on your heart today. If you would receive him, if you would make a choice like Zacchaeus made and say, Lord, I want you in my house. I want you in my heart. I want you in my head. I want to have my thought life renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what I want. That's what I need. Pastor, I'm so glad you preached that message because I've been wanting to invite Jesus in. This pandemic has messed me up, messed my family up. Instead of getting better, I'm getting worse. And I realize today that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. And while I may be unable to get to him, he's now seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. I can't get up to where he is. But thank you, Jesus. He comes down to where I am. And even in this time of social distancing, I don't have to meet him at his house. He'll come to my house. And he'll bring both bread and he brings both wine. You're here today and you want to receive Christ as your personal Savior. Do it now. Don't wait until we start going back to church. Don't wait until another loved one dies. Do it today. Now, he told Zacchaeus, he said, today, salvation has come to your house. And as your pastor and preacher, I say the same. Salvation is there. You would just open your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you. I receive you into my heart. And I know it's a mess. And I know it's dirty. And I know I got a lot of stuff in there I'm not proud about. I know I've done a lot of things that I've hidden down in my heart. And I haven't even told anybody about. But I invite the light of the Lord to come in. Shine a light on me. Clean me, purge me, fix me up so that I can live for you. Fix me up so that I can keep communion in a worthy manner. Forgive me of my sins. Save me and give me eternal life. This is the prayer I ask, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Taylor, I thank you for being with us here today. What a great privilege it is to share the gospel and to be invited into your house. Let the Lord in and let him save you today. At this time, our First Lady is coming.
Amen. Amen. Saints, this is the time when we prepare ourselves for offering. Here at Taylor Tabernacle, you can give in one of three ways. You can send it to our P.O. Box, which is P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. You can also text the passcode TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. I believe it's on the screen. You will receive a text back with instructions on how to continue giving. Amen. Finally, if you'd like, you can also give through our website. In order to do that, you would go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and simply follow the instructions. Amen.
So thank you to everyone who's joined us this morning. Jermaine and I, we did the best we could to clean up our house.
Oh.
They told us you were coming, even if it was virtually. we cleaned up. But thank you for coming. I hope you received the word of the Lord. I hope you let the Lord into your house for your sake, for your salvation, and for the salvation of your entire family.
Amen.
We just thank you and we bless you. And so we're going to offer this benediction and release you and allow you to go out and enjoy the rest of the day and the conclusion of the weekend. To God our Father who abides and rules in heaven, we thank you for your precious love gift in the form of the Lamb of God.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, we thank you above all for what you have done for us.
Yes.
Thank you for your broken body.
Thank you
for your shed blood
offered
freely on Calvary's cross. So we rejoice today and we celebrate that we have now been begotten of God. And Jesus Christ is our elder brother. God himself is now our heavenly Father. So we thank you. Go with us. Stand by us. Fight for us. Stand up strong in the life of believers everywhere and cause us to live and to walk worthy of the calling by which we have been called unto Christ Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Taylor.
Amen.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Have a good day. Enjoy your family. The Lord be with you.